Hey, this is Rob Unsbach, and welcome back to another edition of E-Heroes. For those keeping count, this is episode 402, and my next guest hasn't been with us for about 5 years. He was on podcast episode 71 and also podcast 133, and I want to welcome back Henry Sims, and we're going to talk about the next chapter, and you're probably going, what is this next chapter bullcrap? And we'll explain, but for those that know me, know the podcast, Henry is the son of the awesome Steve Sims, who passed away last year. And I wanted to get Henry back on here because Henry is coming out of this awesome shell. Let's call it a shell. And he's made himself, you know, his own branding. And it's just phenomenal to watch. And if you go back to episode 71 and 133, you'll see the difference between now and then. So I want to welcome Henry and to the show, and thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rob. I can't believe it's been that long, from 70-something all the way to now 402. That's quite a journey, quite some time's gone by, but that's incredible also that you've got over 400 episodes. No one sticks around that long.
It's a journey of, and if you watch the episode, you'll see the very first episode of me, which is 2018. I'm a lot heavier, and you know, and I stumbled through stuff, and I wasn't as sure. So it takes time.
Yeah.
And I want the audience to understand that with everything that we do in life, there's a transition. We have to get good at it. And for years, you were the behind the scenes person for, you know, the company that you and your dad formed, and everybody loved your dad. You know, well, I would say a lot of people loved your dad.
We saw the many that did.
The sarcasm was either good or bad for me. You know, it's give or take. I've pushed people away because of my sarcasm, but. You know, when you were starting out, you were giving him direction. You were helping him brand. You were helping him do all the things that we as creatives try to do for our clients.
Yeah.
And things were expanding. And your dad went from low, probably in the thousands for speaking gigs to tens of thousands.
Yep.
And it wouldn't have happened without you.
Yeah.
But I've also watched you over the last decade of knowing you. You know, the things that you're able to do, you know, and like I said off air, I believe that your dad knew things were happening, wanted to give you those gifts to prep you for the world. And you went far beyond, I think, what he saw.
Yeah. Yeah. It, we had a real pleasure that I don't think many people have. It's one thing to have a relationship with your family, with your parents. And then there's others who work with them as well. But I think my dad and I had far more time with each other and a far deeper relationship than most. So while it feels like it was unfairly cut short, you have to be grateful that you already had more than a lot of people have. Mm. And yeah, we did have a good complementing of personalities. We were very much yin and yang. And it's because I came from, he's the, like you said, the visionary, the ADHD entrepreneur, always coming up with ideas. And then there was me, where growing up, I actually didn't want to go into entrepreneurship because I kept seeing this wild roller coaster that he was always on. Mm-hmm. And as a kid, we actually went through the highs where, you know, they were getting us limousines for our birthday parties, to all of a sudden the lows where he was basically falsely accused, lost the business, went bankrupt, and everything was then gone. And I saw those ups and downs as a kid. I was like, why the heck does anyone pick this life? And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get a job with a stable income and avoid that. And so I went into, I've always been someone who tinkers and loves analytics and just kind of figuring out how things work. So I went into mechanical engineering, and that just mindset was one that my dad needed. It was very complementary to the other half of what his business and his vision was. And the timing was perfect because I dropped out of college with a year left to go when I decided that there's something missing on this career path, and it was a creative outlet. I loved all the systems and figuring out how things worked, but it was missing that creative outlet. And so when I left, my dad was also looking at kind of getting out of the concierge business that he had built and moving into the speaking and coaching and all that space. And so we thought, well, I actually found marketing really interesting. So we thought, let's take a stab at it together. And that's how we formed that relationship of me as this behind the scenes engineer to building his brand.
You've mixed a lot of mechanical engineering with marketing, and I would probably call that human engineering, because you're taking the human psychology, the consumer behavior, and mixing it together to get people to buy from you. And you did that with your dad, but you're also doing it with a lot of entrepreneurs across the United States. Well, I would say across the world. Your dad was very sarcastic, and I think deep down you are too. But
I don't know,
you've
maybe not
taken
to
a
that
more
degree.
serious approach to it because you are analytical. You see the things as a puzzle, and you want to say, hey, okay, how do I make this fit so that other people can work it or understand it? Watching your videos, you break things down into a way that, the average entrepreneur is going to look at it and go, wow, yeah, he just made it easy for me.
Yeah, that's certainly the goal, is always to make things simple. And we have so much on our plates as it is, and it seems like more is being added every single day. Just with the rate of growth in the market and technology of AI and all this stuff, like more and more is required of us as entrepreneurs to stay competitive. And so I want things to be simple. And the simpler things are, the less likely they are to break. And so if we can dumb it down and make something simple, that's my goal. And I'm still, you said about we're always growing, and your early episodes of the podcast, you were stumbling and stuff. I feel like the deeper I go, the more I learn, the more of an amateur I feel, because I see how much more there is still. And it's always about refining. And but up to this point, I've been able to look back at everything that I did for my dad's brand and for everyone else's. And for anyone listening who's interested in branding themselves, I've looked at it as you can break it down into just three parts. And a personal brand, it's value plus character plus interests. And we as entrepreneurs, the value piece is pretty easy. We are constantly showing our services and, the testimonials, case studies, like we show people the value of working with us. And so that piece we typically always address, but it's the other two that we tend to forget and not see as very important. We're very just business professional and we avoid the other things, but then we still just look like every other competitor of ours. And so with my dad, we had to know what his character was and his stories and interests that allowed that character to relate to his audience and bring them in. And so, on that point of sarcasm, when it was early days and I was building out the ad campaigns and, posting things out there, I was dealing with so many ad rejections on the regular basis from things he would say. And so, frustratingly, I was like, we need to like pull back a little bit on this sarcasm and your jokes and statements because we're getting shut down from it. And so the platforms didn't like it, but the audience did. And so I would stand there in a speaking room and I would get to see the polar opposites, the half and half of people who absolutely loved him for what he'd say, and then the other half that absolutely hated it and was disgusted by what he would say.
I'm laughing because my mug says my level of sarcasm depends on your level of stupidity.
Yeah.
You but know, we have to lean into that. It's one of those push pull situations. You want people to gravitate towards you. Yep. But as soon as you open your mouth with the sarcasm, you know that it's just they're going to walk away.
But then those others gravitate closer. Mm-hmm. And that was what I noticed, because at first it was very easy for me to be like, we need to eliminate that part, be more neutral, be more, you know, welcoming of anyone. Mm-hmm. But that's where it doesn't stand out. That's where you don't build the right big brand that we did. And so I like to break things down simply, but that component of just being able to figure out what makes someone unique and then attaching that to the value and the business, it actually works as putting a little bit of fuel to the fire on your marketing. Yeah. And really helping you stand out.
That personality needs to really shine.
Yeah.
You know, and your dad got so many people to believe in him, you know, mm-hmm. to believe in his cause, to buy his books, to come and to his events. I mean, I showed up at a couple of them, and I was the very first one where I think I met you was 2019 in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the pivotal moment of hey, you know, I finally made it into this circle. This is great. This is awesome. And you know, we learned a lot, and we visited, I guess, ManyChat and, mm-hmm. and Tesla and a bunch of other places. But it was one of those events where it inspired me that hey, you know, these are the things that I want to do when I have my own events. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, last year I started planning out Embrace the Magic, and people were like, what is that? And so I had to explain it to them. You know, I take entrepreneurs down to Walt Disney World, and I take them through not only the resorts, but the media ecosystems and the parks. And we show them the greatest marketing programs out there, because every resort is different. Every park is different. And so, you know, I designed a lot of what I've learned from you and your dad to my own events, because I didn't want constant classroom mm-hmm. learning. I wanted to go out there and show them and do walk and talks and get them inspired. And those are the things that you guys did very well.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we figured out very early on, even just ourselves, we hated being in the hotel conference rooms, and it just suffocated creativity. So you needed to get out and find a different area. And also, kudos to you. As you know, we never listed who was speaking or what we were doing at these events. Mm-hmm. It was simply a date, a city, and a price tag. And that was it. That's how we did it for years. Yeah. But it allowed people to immediately enter that zone of being open mm-hmm. to anything that comes at them. And so we were able to feed things that were not traditional into each other's minds that helped us see things differently, interpret them differently, and come away with a different perspective.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about perspective, because, you know, when your dad was on Earth, the perspective to run your businesses, was it joint decisions? Was it, you know, his alone, and how does that compare now to you being, you know, on your own solo?
Yeah, it was about half and half, because, you know, he would have this mindset of just throw it out there. And then I was of the planet and, you know, systematically put something out there. And so we would either get into arguments about the right timing or the right venture project to get into, or we would fall into it, in which he would, you know, he had the brand, so he had the control in that sense that he would come up with an idea, throw it out onto social media. People would raise their hand and they're like, yes, I'm in. And then he'd be like, great, Henry, you got to build it. And so then I would be having to figure out how to pull it off. But then otherwise, we were very much on the same page. The like I said, on making sure that we keep things simple and that we understand where we're going, we would meet up at least once a month and go out to get coffee, lunch, whatever it was. And we would revisit what our vision was, personally and professionally. And so we always stayed on tune with that and made sure that the decisions we were making were on that path. And so that was a good way of us making sure that we were still in check. But certainly now it is, like you'd said, the next chapter, because as a behind the scenes guy, which I'm very good at, there's a lot of the front facing stuff that I'm now having to get used to. And it's funny because I've helped my clients do this for years, but actually being the one to now get in front of the camera and to go and do the photo shoots and do this, run this business solo, it takes a lot more for you to do that. Just the skill set of how you show up and communicate yourself and making that a priority as well within your schedule, which is pretty much where everyone lacks the ability to make content, is just making the time for it. But also not having the person that you trust to bounce ideas off of now, and having to somehow refine or challenge those ideas yourself before moving forward. And it's certainly a different position to be in. I appreciate how much easier it was to make decisions when you had somebody else who was kind of ping-ponging them back and forth with you. But now stepping into this next chapter, it's certainly having to make a decision yourself. And I've learned to make decisions a lot quicker. And you just can't sit on things because you're just going to waste time. If it sounds good, if it seems to check the boxes of this vision you have, move and see. And if it doesn't, course correct.
Well, I made a video the other day about the rise of lazy marketing. And I think you might have covered this before. And the synopsis was that we're using AI avatars in our videos so that we don't have to, to me, it's like we're trying to build trust. We've been told to build trust with our personality and our branding for years. Now they're saying, oh, just use an avatar. Mm-hmm. Now who are we trusting, the avatar or you? Because you're too busy to do your own videos.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like one, it's not at the point yet where it's as good as a person in delivering their thoughts and having the variety in which they deliver their thoughts. But I think exactly the same thing of what does it communicate to your audience if you can't be bothered to get on camera and actually share your own thoughts? Right. And even then, is it your own thoughts? Have you just had ChatGPT create a script, throw it over to your avatar, and you have no idea what you're actually saying, which is a huge risk to your brand as well. So I see the appeal to those who are so against being on camera. And that's obviously what that marketing's doing a very good job with. But for those who are looking at actually building a brand, look at the other entrepreneurs of Dan Martell and Alex Hormozi and Cody Sanchez, who are spending tens of thousands of dollars a month on teams to generate content and to build their brand. They know it's an asset that will attract more opportunities, that will accelerate the projects they're already working on. These AI avatars aren't going to do that. AI is great personality to your SOPs and your team onboarding, training, and whatnot. But other than that, you need to be your own voice.
Yeah, I mean, AI can help with ideas and thoughts and does this make sense type stuff, but don't make it your own video through an avatar. It just
no. And I think we're also going to we're already getting a lot of content, particularly with YouTube, that's being demonetized or pulled down for AI. And there's metadata being inserted, embedded into AI generated content because it has to be. It's dangerous what can be done when we can't distinguish what's real or not. And so there are little pixels, there's little backend data that's being attached to everything AI. And so if you post a video onto YouTube that's entirely AI generated, YouTube knows. It already knows it's AI, and so it's starting to demonetize or potentially suppress your reach. And so my thought is that if we're already tracking for it because there's a risk with it, then if you go out there putting out these AI avatars, these faceless channels, then your reach is going to be dinged, your reputation to the platform's going to be dinged, and it's not gonna reach your audience or hit. And I think we'll even come to the point where there is some good AI stuff out there, absolutely, but I think we'll come to the point where the platforms allow you to filter not just by video duration and upload date, but by AI or human, and allow you to find content that is real people so that you don't miss the social element of what social media was supposed to be originally. And I think we're at that kind of tipping point. So AI's been a quick spurt of something you could do to make content, but I think the more human your content is, the safer it is to perform across all of these platforms.
Now, your dad was a big believer in being omnipresent across all social platforms. To me, it's like, oh my God, I can't be everywhere. And I mean, did you have that same thought, or did you agree with your dad on that one?
I don't think omnipresence has to be as difficult as some people state. Obviously, each platform has its nuances, but ultimately, or at the simplest form, I think you've got long form and you've got short form content. And most of the platforms are short form content. But I think that focusing long form first and then utilizing the ideas and concepts within that to make short form that then just gets posted across all the other platforms is a very easy system to create a lot of leverage, a lot of reach and distribution without having to go and ideate for every single platform individually. And so, people do say that you need to make content fit the platform in which you do. There are nuances to it. But today, I think the most effective strategy to be omnipresent is to focus on YouTube long form content. And, like right here, we've got this podcast. It creates far more time and opportunity for your potential client to connect with you, to see how you operate, to see what your expertise is. And then from there, you can pull things from it, or you can recreate some of the ideas that are surfaced within this long form that gets shared across all the short form channels as little touch points to still gain attention, but ultimately bring people into a more substantial piece of content that does that conversion job.
I mean, with
So
this podcast and with AI in the background running, it's automatically transcribing everything. So then I can use that as a blog post. I can use this on YouTube. I can split it and make reels for Facebook or anywhere else. And but I've noticed over the last year, I'm getting more traction on LinkedIn than I am on any other platform. Yes, I have stuff on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, and TikTok is more, seems to me, a lot of people just jumping in and throwing their opinion. And I don't get a lot of consulting jobs off of TikTok. It's just, my stuff is there, it gets indexed and shows up on Google. LinkedIn, I have the entrepreneurs who are seeking the information.
Yeah, I kind of think you don't know where the attention will go, and you just want to be there to capture it when it does go that way. And I've had Pinterest forever, and posted to Pinterest. And I don't like the platform. not a big fan. And nor am I a fan of X really. But the we've always posted across all of them. And there was a couple years ago, I think it was, where all of a sudden there was just a shift of attention into Pinterest. Whatever it was, we didn't change a thing. We just kept running the system. And all of a sudden we were getting 100,000 views a month on Pinterest, whereas beforehand we would get like 10, and it was just doing nothing. And so you just don't know where the attention's going to go, but you want to be there to capture it when it does go that way. And so, like you said, all LinkedIn has been gaining momentum. Capture and use that momentum, but you're on TikTok for when it potentially shifts that way too. So I think you should be on all of them because there is an element of luck that people won't admit to on this social media game. Media is hard. There's a lot of other people creating content. It's very saturated. So the only way we better our odds is by showing up as frequently as possible with as high quality messaging and content as possible in multiple locations to capture it when it comes our way.
And you've infused some of your videos with your personality and your barista skills. I was watching one where you're making coffee and you're talking, you're entertaining, and it's like, wow, I can't even walk and chew gum. I mean, here you are doing multiple things, and I'm just sometimes just make the talking head videos because I don't like the distractions in the background.
Yeah, it's all about what vibe you're trying to create that harnesses you. But also that does come down to how do we insert interests and show our personality into relevant material for our audience. And I am like I enjoy a lot of different things. The coffee is something that I'm very well known for. But also racing RC cars and building them or riding dirt bikes and all that kind of stuff. But the problem that I've been finding is these platforms are so good at pushing something once it's shown some interest. And I've posted videos of me mountain biking or dirt biking to show you guys that are friends of mine on my platforms that we're already connected and you know what I do, what else I'm getting up to. But those videos have gone way outside of you guys, and they've reached hundreds of thousands of people who are not relevant to what I do. And so those videos, I've had to take them down to stop pulling in that attention that is not relevant to my account. And instead, figure out how do I disguise it and bring it into actual relevant content. So, the sake of the coffee is that I get to talk about this stuff of personal branding and entrepreneurship, but I get to do it in a setting that shows who I am. And therefore, it's not going to be picked up by people who are only interested in coffee, but instead, it touches first on my audience and then it gives the personality factor secondary. So that's just a way of trying to figure out how we can format our interests and our personality into what we do. But your studio alone can be something that does that as well. Your what's behind you and where you're filming, that can do the job too.
And how about the fandom? How are you taking all that? Because you are getting some publicity out there, and not only with magazines, but people are really they want to know all about Henry now.
I don't know if I'm too used to that. but I try very hard to look at it as a game. And so the job here is to just continue to create content that I feel like is better than the content before it and stay connected with the audience that I'm building. And I just that's all I can do is see it as this game. In the same light that I did for building my dad's brand and others, I'm trying to stay that way for mine. Because when you're personally attached to your own brand, your own content, you can see it a little differently, or you can see it more emotionally even when there's bad comments or whatever it is. But I think I've done a rather good job of kind of disconnecting and just having a little bit more fun with it. Than to be too responsive.
And you're getting out there and doing speaking engagements now too.
Yeah. Yeah. that's the most uncomfortable of everything. At least when you're on camera, you're like, oh, I messed that up. Let's re-record it. But when it's live, it's not quite the same. But I am trying to build that skill.
But, you know, you were just in a magazine cover. Mm-hmm. How'd that happen?
Well, it happened from creating content, and a friend of mine has media outlets, and she was seeing, like you said, what I was up to, and she's like, we need more people to see this. And so connected me with the writers, and then we got a photo shoot organized and went through, and there we go. Now we've got some features of what I do, and we were just sharing this perspective of personal brand in a very AI heavy time, where we're more and more disconnected, and we need to know that we can trust the business that we're looking to operate with. So that's kind of how it came about. Was again a bit of luck, but done by compounding myself showing up and putting the same message out over and over again and addressing what makes me me. And then that opportunity came about.
Yeah. You know, and like I said at the very start, you're coming out of your shell. You're doing all these wonderful things. And, you know, are you doing anything that's still, what's the word I want to use? Respects your dad's wishes in any way? Like, he used to do some bike charity work.
I haven't continued on with stuff of his, because I feel like, you know, one, stepping in and taking over a business yourself already increases the demand that you're under. So my time has been even more preserved, or I've been more protective of my time. But the only thing that I can think of is that his goal was always to live life to the max, and I feel like I have to do that as well. And not only that, but I also have stepped into a role of taking care of the family. And those are the ways that I feel like I can best honor him, is to push myself to the max and to support the family, because that's all he's ever done, is push himself, try and live as good a life as possible, but at the same time, do everything he could to support his family.
I want the audience to understand that this wasn't intentionally, hey, let's talk about Steve, because he was a great guy, but you're a great guy too. You have your own stories. And with anything related to your own personal branding, sharing your stories, sharing your interactions, your experiences, will help get people to trust you.
Yeah.
And this is what Henry's doing. And he's a prime example of that next chapter, because, you know, I knew him from behind the scenes of working with his dad to now, and he's doing some incredible things. And I think everybody that's listening needs to follow Henry, because he's out there every day making videos and educating and letting people know what branding's all about. And I think you take branding to a little further of a distance than most, because I think when people think branding, they think graphic artists. Well,
right.
You know, that's not true for most things, but you're using it as a way to, you know, showcase you, your personality, and your clients' goals and aspirations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself a designer. I know that a lot of people you go to for branding, they come from a background of design. And so that's their perspective. I come from a background of engineering. So my perspective is what pieces need to be in place to build this authority online and capture and keep attention. And so that's how I come at it, is looking at all the pieces and pulling them together to build a system that properly highlights who you are. If you needed design advice, not me.
No, man. You know, and I think more and more people are using AI for their designs, and you look at it going, and what I tell people is, look, AI does wonderful things. However, what I'm noticing on social media, every graphic out there is so cluttered with information.
Yeah.
As to your point, keep it simple. A simple graphic will express more than one that's fully loaded with content, because now somebody has to stop and scan that whole graphic. And it may take 2 or 3 minutes, and they're like, why did I even look at this in the first place? Whereas a simple graphic is going to grab their attention, get them to maybe go to a blog or a video or do something, you know, and go about their day.
Yeah. Yeah. Simplicity is what really stands out amongst all this clutter. We're all fatigued. We don't need more work in our minds. So that's what I try to do, is figure out what's the message, what's the personality that we're trying to create. And then we do that over and over and over again. And that way everyone, you know, even to the sake of, I'm pretty much almost always in a black t-shirt. You'll hardly ever see me not in a black t-shirt. But that's something that you can recognize. That's something that for me also doesn't take any mental effort to figure out what to wear in the morning. But you see that across other brands, is even their visual of just what they wear. Is something that helps create that consistent clarity of, that's, I know that person, I'm familiar with them, which creates comfort and trust to move a bit forward. Dan Martell's always in a blue t-shirt. Alex Ramosi's always in a tank. You know, we see people in these outfits, and that allows us to connect. That allows us to overcome some of the crazy fatigue of seeing something different all the time. So the simpler, the better. And then just repeat.
Well, I think your dad did the same thing, you know, with his sneakers and getting up on stage, always the darker pants you know, he had an identity and people recognized it. It's like, you know, wearing your superhero suit. After a while, people, black shirt, this and that. Yeah. Your garb has to go with your attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, he was always black t-shirt, black jeans, and a set of Vans. That was it.
Yeah. So where do people go? Where do they find you now?
Yeah, my website is henrysims.com. Been revamping that finally. And then Henry Sims or Henry D. Sims on all the social platforms.
And which social platform do you prefer the most? Don't say TikTok.
I guess I'm probably most of the time on Facebook or Instagram, but I've been having some fun finally creating some YouTube content of my own. So happy to chat. If you want to reach out on Facebook or Instagram, then you can get some little bite-sized stuff. But if you want to go a little deeper into some of these conversations, then I've been starting to do that on YouTube.
You know, one of my goals this year was to do a video or two a day, and I've been pretty good with that.
Yeah.
Although, you know, I do have some people on Facebook that have been yelling at me. All I see is your stuff on my feed. Get your other friends to post stuff then. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but that is the downfall. Yeah. You know, if you don't have a lot of connections, you're going to see a lot of my stuff. But, you know, I've also been getting feedback and people say, yeah, I really like what you're saying now. And, you know, I'm trying not to point fingers at, you know, certain people. I'm trying to take that lesson and spin it so that people get the lesson and not the rant. And I think you've been doing that for a while. You know, it's kind of your style. I really enjoy your videos.
I appreciate it. Still
So.
doing it, still improving upon it each time in my own process and my own comfort within stepping forward in this light, but it's something that we have to do. It's something that allows us to connect with the clients that we actually want to work with and to reject those that we don't and create this asset that just attracts more opportunities in life.
You know, 10 years ago, it was 2016. I was having, I think it was kind of like a brunch. My wife and I were in LA with your dad. We were at some restaurant. I think you said it was Mel's, and we were
Probably.
watching Hollywood bougie types walking by, and your dad was making fun of them. And you know, we were having a blast. But one of the things that he told me, he goes, "You got to raise your prices," and I did. I raised them a lot, you know, over the years. And do you still reminisce about some of your dad's advice? Do you take it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like I've always been a perfectionist, and when you're in engineering, you have to be. The calculation's either right or it's wrong. And but in business, it's not quite as clear cut. And so for him, he's always been someone that's helped push and make me just move and see. And that change of behavior has been one to it's been hard to overcome, but that's been one that always is kind of in the back of my mind, is like trying to address when have I got the minimum viable product to move and just have those few elements of like, this sounds right. Now, okay, cool, let's go. And so that's been one of his things, is just moving a lot faster with decisions and seeing what works and what doesn't. And that's certainly how he lived, was very fast. And so I'm trying to add more of that into my own life and behavior.
Yeah, my philosophy has always been good is good enough. I know it doesn't resonate with a lot of people, but I'd rather get my product out there and start making money. If I waited for it to be perfect, I would not make money. And that's a hard thing to do because you're a perfectionist. My father-in-law was a perfectionist, and we would butt heads. I'm like, "Dad, look, you're a carpenter. Nobody sees the freaking backside of anything. You don't have to make it perfect. Nobody's gonna know." And he goes, "I'll know." And then nobody wanted to pay his rates because it took so long to be perfect. And so, yeah, you're the perfect guy. You know, your mentality is you got everything has to be perfect. Your dad is like, "Just do it." And I'm sure that they clashed, but you started to learn the differences between an engineer and an entrepreneur.
Yeah, certainly. It's just a matter of, and he we both helped each other in that regards of where he wouldn't think enough before doing certain things. He started to take more of my approach of what things we needed to look at before moving forward. And then similarly, I took more of his just go do it initiative. And so we've both helped to improve each other in that regards. But yeah, I certainly, if I feel myself kind of getting bogged down or starting to overthink something, all I have to do is quickly think, what would he do? And it would be go. And so I get into that zone because I just have that little voice of his yelling in the back of my mind to move.
Well, are you still an adrenaline junkie?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you still got out on the cycle and race?
A little less so, 'cause now I'm the thing of being in charge now is that if you go down and out, then it's a little bit different when there's no backup. So I've certainly had that more in my mind, a little bit safer, my risk tolerance, I guess, for what I put myself into. But I do, yeah. Today I'm even instead of going to the gym, I'm gonna pack up the mountain bike and go out and hit the jumps and trails. So I still like to do that stuff.
You know, one of the things though for me it was, you know, and this happened during COVID. I was down for about 3 weeks. I had the foresight of putting a lot of my content into a service, kind of like Social Bee, where it automatically, you know, posts for you. And at the time, I only had a few pieces in there, but it cycled them through. So people didn't know that I was down for 3 weeks. Now I have thousands of pieces of in there, and I have my client stuff in there. Because if I go down for a couple weeks, I don't want people to know that, you know, their content's not going to be out there. Yeah. So I'm sure you now have systems in place too, because like you said, you don't want to go down.
Yeah. Yeah. I always try and make sure I'm also ahead on filming. And, you know, when it comes to my YouTube and the clients I work with for YouTube, we try to be 2 to 4 weeks out on all new content. And then if you're in a scenario, like you said, where you are out, one, you can post that new content that's still available, but you can go back and repost content that you've already made. And most of your audience has probably not seen it. So it works great to repost it. Right. And that's been quite effective amongst many creators, even just this year, that they repost old content to increase their frequency of posting, but to bring ideas that people miss back up. It's like when someone misses your email and you respond to it just to push it back up in the inbox. That's what you're doing with your content.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. I have at least 30 days always ready in my Google folder that if I was to go down, that stuff could just go out.
You know, because I see posts all the time from content creators and they're like, oh, I'm burned out. I'm like, burned out? I've been doing this for 25 years, you know, creating content for, you know, and now granted, I've only been on social media since 2009, but still, as a true entrepreneur that deals with creating stuff, you should never be burned out. I mean, I take lessons from life itself. Every day it's giving me problems. I got, okay, yeah, that's a good life lesson. But
yeah,
having a repository of content that you can reshare constantly takes that burden off of you so you don't have to worry about creating content every day.
Yeah, definitely.
But there's a lot of companies out there that never reshare their stuff. It's always push for a better, you know, something better, you know, and it's like your crew is getting burned out constantly coming up with new stuff. Share the old stuff.
Yeah, that is the hard part. It's just overthinking and trying to always have something different to say. But like we had said earlier in the podcast, simplicity is what you want. And if someone recognizes the same message in their feed over and over again, then it starts to sink in. But if you're creating new angles and new things, while that's valuable, it might take a bit longer than you think even to let that same message sink in for your ideal client. So take the content, repost it, and don't always be chasing for these new and grandiose ideas, because that will burn you out. You know, keep it simple.
So I want everybody to learn how to keep it simple. Follow Henry. Go to his website, henrysims.com, and you'll discover he's the identity engineer. You know, because he'll help you unleash your dream clients, really. You know, attract them. And honestly, he's done such a wonderful job over the last year, reinventing himself, you know, becoming that next chapter. And I want everybody to learn from him, to glean all the information you can from him, because, you know, granted, we're all learning, but, you know, he's going to help you with your brand. So I want to thank Henry for being here, and I'll catch everybody else on the next episode. Adios.